Grants Auction Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com. Let us pray.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive. And we're giving thanks to every one of our customers for allowing us to be your Ford dealer for the past 27 years. As the weather is changing, we encourage you to visit our service department if your brakes are squeaking, your heater is struggling, or your vehicle isn't running at top performance. And shop our new and pre-owned inventory with vehicles arriving daily. Experience the Barber Dyson difference of the largest selection, friendliest people, and award-winning customer service. Only at BarberDysonFord.net.
We are back. This is the Hour of Power. Sister Judy Gifford is our guest today, talking about the F words in the Bible.
It's an attention getter, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the first one was faithfulness. Forgiveness. Okay, I'm sorry.
Forgiveness and freedom and favor.
Okay.
And now we're going for the word fellowship.
Okay.
And also, wait, on favor, I was given 10 ways. Actually, I need to jump back up a second. Or 10 ways to get you favor. Do you want favor? And I found this, so I wrote them down. I didn't come up with them myself, but we all share, right? Uh-huh. So one of the things is to find favor. Is to find favor of the Lord is give your tithe. Mm. And because you find favor of the Lord because you're obedient to what he says and you're giving to his church. And then give to other people. There's times give offerings and help other people. When you help people in need, you're going to have favor with them. Mm-hmm. And then it says here, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because he found favor, he found grace, he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Because of why? Because he's a righteous man doing righteous things. And it gives you favor with the Lord to do right, to obey his word, do what it says. And giving is one of the things that will bring you favor with God and man. And the kicker about that is when you give away, it's like God's shovel's bigger than yours. You shovel it out and he shovels in and you get all the increase. So you never lose when you give. And you, when you give, it says it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Well, men give into your bosom. Out of some, you don't even expect it, right? And out of somewhere, somebody goes, oh, yeah, okay, I'll give to them. And they just out of, open it up. I'll tell this. I had taken $100 to give to give to someone. It wasn't really my offering. It was just added. And I thought, well, the speaker, and it turned out all different. And I literally forgot about it. And so I didn't give that $100 at a visiting church where I was visiting out of town. And so before we left that town, we went to the Sonic, got some other women with me. And this little guy came and waited on us and brought our food and went out. And so we were sitting there eating. And then I started back out and left. And I saw him come out the door and I go, oh, I didn't leave a tip. I didn't give him any tip. You know, my tips are always so big, about 25 cents or 50 or maybe a dollar if they're really lucky, you know. And it popped in my mind, that $100. And I'm going, yeah, but I'm giving him a sermon first. So I pulled that out and I showed it kind of, you know, I said, I want to give you something. And I said, but first I want to tell you God loves you. And he has a plan for your life. And he wants me to give this to you to let you know that he's thinking about you and love you. And he wants you to call on him and pray. And I just preached him a little sermon. And I said, and here you go, son. And he goes, yes, ma'am. You know, thank you. He's blown away. He never, probably never got a $100 tip before. But did that bless me? It blessed my socks off to be able to just share. And you know what? He'll never forget that little sermon. Mm-hmm. He'll always remember God has a plan for his life. So use it, you know, use it for the glory of God. Did that bring me favor? I imagine it brought me some with him. I don't know. But I believe it brings us the favor of the Lord to be generous. And instead of beast, because there's a scripture that says there's some that hoards and holds it back and they have less. Mm-hmm. And some that give and have more. Who is that? It's the person who's learned the rule and the key to prosperity's giving. Amen. So it says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. So you have the favor of God. When you seek him first, then all these things will be added to you. And you don't have to scratch in the dirt and find, you know what I mean, go to the sand and try to grab. No, most people grabbing gold dirt that looks like gold, but it's sand, and it goes right through their fingers. So we can give generously, and sometimes it's hard. We have to learn this because it makes no sense to our mind that 90% goes more than 100. It just don't make sense. We learn math, you know, that 90 don't go further than 100, but it does in God's economy because he watches it, and then he will add blessings to you. And I'd rather have the blessings and favor of God on my life than every little penny. We actually had... I won't go there. Okay, so be submissive. Esther was submissive, and she saved a nation. She was willing to step out when it, and step up, and she was humble. She humbled herself before the king and said, "Would you come and I'll serve you? And what do you want? Well, just come and eat with me, you know." And she had the people fasting and praying that he wouldn't cut her head off, you know, because there was a rule: you're not one supposed to just go into the king unless he called for you. And when he saw that Esther was in the waiting room and coming to him, he could stick the scepter down, and they'd just taken her off and killed her. But instead, he was very favored. He loved it. And so he held it up. But that one of the reasons he's in a good mood, and probably because people were praying and fasting for 3 days. Everybody, and there's a really good thing about fasting and praying 3 days. There's something about that, and you fast and pray, and it'll dislodge a lot of things that need to be prayed about. But anyway, be humble, be submissive. Don't walk around with a cocky attitude. You don't get favor when you do that. People see that cocky attitude and it turns them off. And amen. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some cocky preachers. My husband knows one is not one of them, but I'm just saying, don't matter. We know the Lord. We don't know the Lord. We can walk in cocky, and we need to not walk in cocky. Be humble. Be honest. Be honest, particularly Christians and people in, you know what? Don't lie. Don't lie. When people find out you lied, they label you a liar. Mm-hmm. And then they don't trust what you say. And just be cautious of that. Be honest. It says, God detests dishonest scales, but accurate scales find favor with him. In other words, somebody who tries to get an advantage over somebody through dishonesty, God sees, and he don't look at that, and you don't get favor from him when you do that. And it says, get wisdom, Proverbs 8:35. For those who find me, meaning wisdom, find life and receive favor from the Lord. So get wisdom. You walk in wisdom, and you can act in a way. The Bible even says sometimes when we're quiet, when we need to be quiet, people think we're wise. Mm-hmm. They'll give us credit for being wise. When we run our mouth, it shows our ignorance sometimes, you know, and we're all probably guilty at sometimes for doing that. But I'm just saying, this says how to gain favor, and one of them is to get some wisdom. Then it says, Jesus grew in wisdom and in favor with God and man. So he grew, he learned, and he grew in favor. So let God do that for us too. And then the word fellowship says, 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Amen. There is something so special about being in a church service or being with other Christians. There is just a camaraderie. Mm-hmm. There's just, we're of the same spirit. Mm-hmm. And it really feels like we're brothers and mm-hmm. sisters. Right. And we call each other brother and sister. And many times we're closer than our own blood relatives are, because we're of the same spirit and of the same mind, and we pray together, and it bonds us together, and it's called fellowship. And one guy said, the reason fellowship in church is so good is because of all the good fellas in the ship, you know. And that's true. Fellowship is just precious. I love fellowship, and friendship then is another one. And there's a scripture that says, I'm a friend of God. Moses was it Abraham, when Abraham was a friend of God. So we're friends of God. We want to be friends to each other. And there's nothing quite like a loyal friend. Uh-huh. A loyal friend who, when you're sick, they're there holding your hair out of your face, you know, or they're, what can I do to help? I'm coming over. I've had friends like that. Who, my friend Karen, she drove me to Colorado because I needed somebody to drive me. They put new tires on their car so that they could drive me up there. She didn't ask for any payment for that. I paid for the motel and for the gas. Well, she paid for some of the gas coming home. You know, that's a friend. Mm-hmm. That's a friend. And Bible says Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if you feel friendless, call on Jesus. He will be your best friend. And another thing, the Bible says if you want a friend, show yourself friendly. Pull the walls down. I think, how can you get to know people at church and be a friend at church? And they say that's what holds people in church more than anything is friendship. So hang around. Get there a little early so people can shake your hand. Stay a little late so people can talk to you. Don't just zip out the door the minute church is over, because you're not going to get acquainted with anybody. You're not going to have good fellowship, or you won't even maybe find a friend in the church. So go to the women's meeting. Go to the men's meeting. Go to the youth meeting. Be there. Be there. Show up, and you will form bonds, and you'll have friends. Amen?
Amen.
And good Christian friends are a good thing to have. And that's why the youth have youth things and get those youth together so they can form friendships, the godly friendships. And I wrote down here last night, and I think about this actually early this morning. I got up like 4 this morning, and I woke up, so why not? And then I had to have you guys wait, make sure I didn't go to sleep, and I did sleep a little bit. But anyway, it's here. Do you smile? Are you kind? Do you go around people, or do you just hang up by yourself? Well, I already said that. Do you go to men's meetings? Do you go up and shake someone's hand? Do you offer your friendship to anybody? And then there's a little thing here that says, what a priceless treasure. Old friends. Bill Gaither wrote that in a song. What a priceless treasure. Just to have an old friend. Old friends are best, kind of. You know, you can meet an old friend and you kind of pick up right where you left off when you haven't seen each other. I have a friend. We've been friends since we're 12. And Helen, if you're watching, I love you. And anyway,
Helen Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's watching. Hello.
Have a good day, Judy. Love you.
Yeah, love you too, sweetie. We've been friends since we're 12, so that's a long time. I think we might be old, but we're not admitting it. And then John 15:15 says, greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friend. And that's what Jesus did to us and for us. And says, you're my friends, Jesus said. You are my friends if you do what I say, if you follow my commandments. So that's how we know, because everything I learned from my father, I made known to you. So he obeyed his father and is his father's son and his friend. We need to be friends in our family. It's sad to have mamas and daddies and sister and brother. And if you ever watch that nanny, oh my goodness, Super Nanny. I don't know why I like that silly program, but they got a hold of a bunch of teenagers, and they blended two families, and it wasn't the Brady Bunch, honey. It was terrible. Hate going back and forth. You know what? That'll tear a family totally up. You got to be friends in your family, and if you can't be friends in your family, where can you have, you know, you got to start there first. Anyway, let me make sure I got all of these. I have one more left, and it's fear. Oh, my goodness. It's the fear. There's one kind of fear that's good. Only one kind of fear that's good. And that's the fear of the Lord. Fear to do evil. Fear and knowing a respectful awe to know that if you disobey the law, there's consequences. So all of us have learned as a little child not to walk up and stick our hand in the fire. We would fear that. If somebody tried to hold our hand in a fire, we pull back. We would fear going and standing on the highway, in the middle of the highway, knowing, you know what? There's consequences to that. We have healthy fear. That's a good thing. We fear the Lord. And the Bible says when you fear the Lord, that is the beginning of wisdom, to fear him. And it will still keep you away from evil. Get in the Word of God. I challenge you guys to read Proverbs. Because I heard a guy say this morning coming in the radio, he said, Proverbs are not promises. The Proverbs are not promises. They're probabilities. If you are lazy, you're likely not going to get to eat. But there are some lazy people who probably do get to eat because someone feeds them, you know. And it gives you probabilities. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. It just gives wisdom there. And it's really good to grab a hold of that wisdom and gain that stuff the Lord tells you. It says not to go anybody's note. If you go in the note, you'll probably pay it. just all kinds of wisdom. Stay away, just stay away from prostitutes. You know, you do that and you're going to ruin your body. You're going to ruin your health. You're going to ruin your reputation. There's just, read Proverbs. There's just so much wisdom in Proverbs. And then I want to talk about the unhealthy fear, because this is a tool that Satan used. I don't know if he twists that good fear or not. Probably not. I don't know. But he will come at us with this horrible fear, and the kind of fear he brings has torment. And if you're afraid, and you're just set constantly afraid, like one girl said, she sat all night, she's so afraid, with a knife in her hand. Instead of sleeping well, she was full of fear. Well, let me tell you, the enemy does this, but let me tell you one of the ways he does this with this generation is movies. And we watch junk. Start to say that word again. You watch junk. Start to say crap. You're not supposed to say crap. Mom told me not to say that. But we watch stuff. And it enters your mind through your eye gate. And then it enters your ears. And anything that goes in your eyes and your ears is very powerful to influence you. So you watch something that's really scary. Oh, and you may enjoy getting the high that comes from getting scared. I don't know. Some people, weird, do that kind of thing. But anyway, the moment that the devil has an opportunity, when you're by yourself, you're trying to get in your house with the key, well, there's the murderer right out there in your mind, you know. Or you're taking a shower. There's one about somebody getting killed in a shower one time, and I saw one little portion of it. I wouldn't even watch the thing. I don't even remember its name. But you watch that kind of junk, fear is going to rule your life. It's going to hide down here, and then it's going to pop up. And the Bible, here's what Jesus says. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So what do? We ask God to take those memories, take that fear away. Fear of death is a big one. There's so many of us. I had a big fear of death when I was young, and Jesus had to take that from me. And someone told an illustration. It's kind of like, some native people in some South American country, that they fish on the river. And what they do on one part of the river, they put a net down where the fish can't get through. And on the other part of the river, they get up there and make noise, and they run a pole with streamers down on it, and they run that down the river, and it scares the fish, and they run into the net. But now all they had to do, those little things were on just little, like threads, but it was just a little plastic string or something. And all they had to do was just push through that, and they were free. But instead, they turn and run from it and go right into the net. And it's been a lesson to me. I heard that when I was like 19, and I go, well, I'm not going to be afraid. So I would do, I was scared of the dark, because I had seen the mummy, and I knew that it was outside in the dark somewhere when I was a little girl, you know, and I still had that in my head as a 19-year-old. And I would leave our parsonage. We're pastoring our first little church in Frederick, Oklahoma. So I would leave our parsonage and walk over to the church where he was studying. And I walk in the dark. I'd be taking him coffee or something, you know, going over there because he's studying Saturday night. And I'm walking over there and scared like everything to walk in that 100 yards or however long it was between the house and the church. I don't know how far it was, but it probably wasn't very far. But anyway, it seemed like a long ways to me, because I knew that the Frankenstein was out there, because I'd seen him on TV and I'd seen the mummy, you know. And so anyway, that's still in my mind. And there's a lot of kids that think there's monsters under their bed and all kinds of things, because we've let them see too much junk. Anyway, I walk over there and I'd be going, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I will fear no evil, for thou art scared to death. I will fear no evil. But I fought that thing until I won. And fear of death. And one of the reasons I was fearful of death is my grandmother, unintentionally, to hurt me, would sit and tell me that she was going to die. And that she took me into her little, it wasn't a closet, it was one of those little things that holds your clothes. And she would open it and she'd say, this is the dress I'm going to be buried in. Well, she was old and she didn't have anybody. And I would go down and see her, because I'd be at my other grandmother's house staying there. They were only like a block and a half apart. So I would go down there to her because I felt sorry for her. And I'd sit on the porch with her, and she'd take my hair and pull it behind my ear, and I'd go pull it. I couldn't stand my hair behind my ear. You know, I had longer hair then. And anyway, and she'd tell me that stuff. And somehow in my little mind, I got it twisted. And I thought she was telling me I was going to die too. And so I carried this fear. And then finally, Jesus gave me a vision when we were there at that little church in Frederick, and I saw myself in this very dark place with two doors on either side. And so I thought, I've got to get out. This darkness is horrible. And I thought, so I turned and went and opened that door, and there was a skeleton or something that represented death. It was worse. It was horrible. I slammed that door. And so I ran to this other door, and I opened it, and there was something equally as bad, which I don't remember what it was, but it frightened me again, and I shut that door, and I ran back into the darkness. And I said, Lord, I knelt and said, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm not going to get out of this darkness. And in the darkness, one little pinhole of light, and then it began to widen. And it widened like this. And I took off running for that light. And when I did, there was a casket. And the only way I could get through that light was to step up on that casket. And I stepped up on it and jumped through that light. Mm. God was showing me that I had to get over that fear. That fear was a dark room. And I couldn't stay in that fear. And before I could get into the light, I had to get over that fear. How did I do it? Through prayer. Through getting to the Word, through building, I got where I'm not afraid of the monster anymore. Those monsters I saw, but I jumped in my vision or dream. It might have been a dream. I jumped through that light, and I fell. And when I landed very softly, I looked down and I had two babies in my arms, and two ladies were walking by like if I was on a street corner. And these ladies walked by, and they looked at me, and one of them said, well, I wonder why she's crying. And the other said, other lady said, I don't know. I think she's just so glad to get out of the darkness. Hmm. So in that, God was telling me, I was so scared. I asked Tilbert, what does this mean? What does this mean? But what the Lord was telling me, Judy, I'm bringing you out of fear, and I'm bringing you out of darkness, and I'm giving you two babies. And how good at God. He says, fear not. Here's I want to read this promise to you and end with this. He says, I have it open to this. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Don't you love that? That is mm-hmm. Isaiah 41. And he's promised that. And then you go on over 43 and you go, but yeah, God, so much bad stuff been happening. And he says, here, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Let me see if I can exactly find where it is. He says, but now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the water, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. You will walk through the fire, and you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, and Cush and Sheba in your stead. Since you were precious in my sight, I have, since you are precious and honored in my sight, because I love you. This reads a little bit different, but anyway, because you're precious in my sight, I have honored you and I love you. And that's what Jesus is telling all of us who's watching. He loves us. We should fear no evil. We should abide by these things and look at all these words that do start with F, but fellowship, friendship, and then faith. I think that's one I left out, but faith. And God has given us faith. And the Bible says, if we have faith as a grain of mustard seed, nothing should be impossible to us. So if we will call on the Lord in faith, Neva has great faith. If you call on the Lord, I'm amazed that her husband the tumors are shrinking, and something that the doctors can do nothing about, God is doing something about.
That's right.
It's amazing me. I'm standing as best I know how to stand in faith. I'm saying some things I've stood, particularly the ring that God gave me back. You just look, Lord, I give it to you. Would you send your angel and do it? And just knew he could if he would, and he did it. Other things are a little harder for me to go to know. Yeah, he's going to do it. Well, no, I've got his promise. And I heard a guy say the other night, grab his promises. So we grab his promises and say, Lord, I didn't say it. You said it. So did it mean someone in the past or someone in the future? Or is this word for me? If this word is for me, then I put my name on every verse. And I say, it's mine. I receive it. So I'm looking for a great healing in my life. And I know right now I'm saying, I'm going to get it. Well, they're telling me with Andrew Womack, you got to say, I got it. Mm. I got it. And I'm getting to that size of faith. But anyway, I love all y'all. Thank you for listening. And I just pray God uses these words to honor his name and to bless your heart.
Well, I know he will, and I do have one other prayer request.
Okay.
My sweet little friend Billy Frost, who has come through a rehabilitation program, is beginning a new job today, and he called me yesterday evening. I knew he was going to go up to Woodward and apply for a job the other day, but they just called him yesterday and said he had the job, and so he's going to be going down to Texas, and so he said, just continue to pray for me. So I just want to pray for strength and wisdom, and that he will be a witness as he works, because he's going back in the oil field, and you know that's a tough place. But he can be, he can be a light, and so I just pray for his strength and his wisdom to be able to hang in there on what he's learned these last several years.
Aren't you glad Neva's our friend? She knows how to have faith, and she prays for you. So. Praise God. Father, we just come to you for Billy. God, I ask you, Lord, to bless him, to strengthen him, to encourage him. Thank you for this position that's open for him, Lord. That was an answer to prayer. And I just ask you, God, to give him confidence and give him peace, give him favor. Lord, as he does this job, give him ability to do it. Give him wisdom that he'll know how to do it, that he'll work effectively and efficiently, that he will keep his life on track for you, stay clean and walk, God, in the ways of God, that he'll get into your word and learn. He'll get into a church he needs to be in, that he will grow and become the man that you have designed him to be, that he'll fulfill your plan and your will. Because you promised us, Lord, if we're fulfilling your plan and your will, then the blessings all come back to us. So I pray for him and for what he needs, God. I pray you'll supply it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. What a great lesson we've had today from Sister Judy. If you missed any part of it, go back and watch on Facebook. I know we have three parts that we'll go over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com. And it may have had a little break in the middle. I don't know. But you can always go back and watch it on Facebook. Take your iPad or your cell phone over to one of your friends' house and show them on Facebook, if nothing else. So have a great weekend for all you moms out there. Be blessed. From me, Neva, from Monica, from Sister Judy, we will see you back in here next Monday.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.
At Bordice and Ford, we think it's better to give than receive.